it starts by being around other people who are dreaming even bigger than me, which at some point sounds impossible, but that's the thing. Like Naveen is a perfect example. So he's a good friend now, and he came to our San Diego event a couple years ago. And as a gift, he gave me a piece of the moon, like a literal chip of rock from the moon in this really cool case. I'm like, this is the best gift ever. And then I was just telling Stephanie, because we were in the States, we had to fly back home. I'm like, how do I explain this at customs? Sir, why do you have a piece of the moon?
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So speaking of people like us, it was my pleasure today to sit down with one of my entrepreneurial heroes, Giovanni Marsico. Giovanni is the founder of the Archangel Summit and the Archangel Community, and it is really his mission to be able to empower entrepreneurs who are visionaries and have a deep desire to change the world through his programming, his masterminds, and frankly, his attitude and leadership. Giovanni is shifting an entire generation of entrepreneurs and giving them the tools to take their dreaming and make them something tangible, to make them a reality. Our conversation today was epic, like all conversations I have with Giovanni. And what I loved the most is that we not only talked about how to eliminate the limiting beliefs so that we can dream as big as possible, but he took us through some of the practical tools that he uses in his life to take his vision and enable them to become a reality. It is truly my pleasure and honor to introduce you to my friend and fellow entrepreneurial colleague, Giovanni Marsico. Giovanni Marsico, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you, Megan. I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
I am super stoked to jump in because we have a lot to unpack on this episode. We were going to talk about your summit and the work that you are doing and this idea of really dreaming big. But before we do that, I'm hoping you can give my listeners and audience a sense of who you are and the journey that brought you here, because you are doing some pretty amazing things in this world. And I'd love for people to have a sense of what that entire roadmap has looked like to get you to where you are right now.
Well, thank you for having me. And I'll start by saying that I am a superhero and comic book nerd, to give a bit of context, because the story starts, and I love origin stories, which is why I brought that up. But the story starts, I think, in elementary school when in the Ontario border or in the Toronto area where we're from, a lot of the schools when we were growing up did IQ testing. I don't know. I'm assuming they still do this, but around fourth grade, my score was really high and they labeled me as gifted, which meant for the school I was in, once a week or a day and a half a week, I would be bused to a separate school for a gifted class, which was awesome. But then that half day at lunch, when I had to come back to my regular school, I was bullied. I was bullied for being smart. And I thought, this is so weird. But it actually created pain and trauma for me. Some days I would go home crying to my parents, not understanding why this was happening. Hated the word gifted because it was attached to that pain. And then fast forward to high school when I discovered comic books and fell in love with things like Spider-Man and Iron Man. But the real change was when I discovered the X-Men. And on the very first page, it said, Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. And there was that word again, but now it meant superpower. And it was just such a mind shift for me to think, well, this thing that I used to hate is something I can love. And I, as a joke in high school, I would tell people that when I grow up, I want to create a real life X-Men and lead a team of superheroes. And everyone laughed and it was funny. Haha. And you know, the 16-year-old in me is giggling with joy because that's what we've done. So we are a global community and tribe of visionary leaders and entrepreneurs who want to change the world and who are changing the world, not just crave to do it, but actually are doing it. And I've made my childhood dream come true by surrounding myself with what I call dreamers. And the other thing, you know, part of my origin story was that throughout school, especially in high school, when I actually started my first company producing events for teenagers, like dance parties and a safe space to hang out in the evening, that was the sort of the opposite of the rave culture and all the drug and alcohol stuff that was happening. And I would come home all getting excited. And my parents would say, you know, stop dreaming, get your head out of the clouds, make sure you get a good job and go to engineering school, which I did because that's what they told me to do. And my guidance counselors and my teachers told me to do. And I hated engineering school. I did not want to be an engineer. And I dropped out and became a black sheep of the family because how could you possibly drop out of university? You know, we paved the way for you to go to these schools kind of thing. And that was the messaging. And I think it happens to a lot of people where the society or their environment or their school or their religion, whatever it is, tells them to do a certain thing that's not aligned with them. And it creates depression and anxiety. But I was told to stop dreaming my whole life, only to discover in adulthood, like literally 5 years ago, that dreaming is my superpower. It's my gift. And it is for a lot of us who are entrepreneurial and visionary, or whether you're a healer, whatever modality you're in, we often can see the future, have clarity around what the future looks like, and then reverse engineer it to make that change happen. And it's professional dreaming. When you are successful, you become called a visionary, which to me is just the same thing. It's just a visionary is a dreamer that's actually acted on their dreams to make them happen. So that's who we are, and that's what I do. And I want to inspire adults to dream bigger and younger people to just start dreaming and realizing that's okay.
The thing about dreaming, and I do that too, and I feel like visionary is like the adult word for a dreamer. How did you learn to start to implement coming off the dream? Because I see this every year. I attend the Archangel Summit and I'm involved in your mastermind, in your community. And every time you put something together, you can see this reverse engineering. You can see it actually being rooted into something. But I feel like for a lot of visionaries and dreamers, we're really good at visioning and not always great with the follow through. Is that an inherent skill that you had, or did you have to learn how to do that?
It's a combination and a recipe of a bunch of things put together. The first thing is to realize that if that is your superpower, you're probably good at the thinking part and probably not so good on the execution part, which means you need to build a support team around you of people who are really good at executing on your dreams. Whether it's an operations team or an integrator or whatever the words or language are, part of my success has been building an epic team around me of people that are really good at execution. So that's part of it. And then it's also scheduling time for things that you probably normally don't do. So I actually have in my calendar dream time. Like how often does someone schedule time to think as a thing in their calendar? You probably have meetings in there. You probably have appointments, experiences you're going to go to, whatever it is. But things like self-care, things like meditation or thinking or strategy time, we kind of squeeze it in where we can. I believe that you should create time in your calendar for your superpower thing, whatever it is. And for me, it's dream time. So it's literally time when I can have zero distraction, be in my studio or wherever I am, and just think and journal. And I think we should all do a lot more of that. I can't even imagine the transformation or the outcome or the result if we spent more protected time in our zone of genius. That would be so epic.
I love that you say that, because even as you are talking about it, I know I get a physical anxiety if I don't have an opportunity to exercise. But you gave this, you literally called it dream time. And what you did is you just gave me permission to do that as well, because I get the same physical angst if I don't have negative space to just be able to iterate and whiteboard and play with an idea and toss it around.
And even practice dream. So I learned this from, there's an author named James Altucher who has a really cool podcast too. I mean, I'm trying to remember which book it is, but he actually says, you know, spend time journaling shitty ideas, like literally spend time writing down, maybe if it's 10 ideas a day on a specific theme or topic, chances are most of them will be terrible, but there may be one that's awesome. And in the practice of doing idea generation, you will actually get better at idea generation. We need to treat it like a skill. Like if you were an athlete, let's say you're a hockey player, you're not going to spend all your time reading books about hockey. You're actually going to be on the ice, or you're going to be practicing skills. And idea generation or strategy is a skill set that you can practice. So doing that as well, and that's something I love doing too, just coming up with a whole bunch of ideas. I even have another practice. I don't know if I've shared this publicly. Tell me if this rings true, but how often are you in the shower and you get an amazing idea?
Yeah.
So I thought, how do I triple down on this? So we actually, when Stephanie and I found this house, one of the variables was that it had to have an epic shower in the bedroom.
That's awesome.
For this purpose. And I will spend a lot of time every day. I'll clean myself, but then I have this whole meditative practice where I download ideas in the shower, and some of my best ideas come from that. So I make it a daily practice to do so. Some people love meditating with an app or sitting in a quiet space. To me, it happens in the shower. Whether it's the safety of, I don't actually know what it is yet. It's something I can research, because I think there's something about the water and being in like a safe space to just download ideas.
Well, and I'm going to go woo-woo on you with this, but I've been talking about this with my patients for years, not necessarily meditating in the shower, but using the shower and the flow of water as a space to hold on to positive things and let go of negative things. Because water medicinally will hold things energetically and biochemically. And I literally say, like, leave it in the water and visualize it flowing down the drain. So I love that water analogy. And when you said, you know, this idea of iterating and brainstorming on ideas and working through the shitty ideas, when I was growing up, my father was an entrepreneur, and we would have every morning at breakfast, we would talk through the different ideas that we had each come up with. And I remember even as a kid, we openly talked about the fact that 9 times out of 10, the ideas were going to be crappy and that was okay. And we talked through why that was. And so it was such a phenomenal training ground for me to start to understand, you know, what is going to make something actually work versus it just being a really great idea. And I feel like that's one of the differentiators of some of these really successful, we'll call them serial entrepreneurs, is I suspect that they're also really good at letting go of the things that aren't going to serve in a bigger way. There's almost an elimination of ego involved in that space. Has that been your experience?
To come up with one great idea, you have to have 100 bad ones. It's just part. It's like I'm not even a sports fan, but I just find that sometimes analogies work. If you think of a baseball, the top home run hitter ever probably had more strikeouts than home runs. But if you're not up to bat each time, just trying, you can never get to that home run world record. Right? It's the same with ideas. There's no one individual that every single idea they have is like holy crap genius. But to get to the holy crap genius, you have to have a whole bunch of average or terrible ones. And that's totally cool. I think it should be, we need to give ourselves permission to fail at a larger quantity so that we have way more successes.
So what's a really bad idea you've come up with?
Oh, man.
But you've had them and you've put them out there and they haven't worked. Sure. And you just let it go. Personally, I'll talk openly about the fact that, we just tried this and it totally didn't work. And let me talk you through why this didn't work. And sometimes things work out really well and I'm not quite sure why. And to that notion, has anything that you've created and some of the things that are longstanding within your offering with Archangel, have any of them been accidents where you were just iterating and you're like, whoa, this has had traction?
Oh my God, always. I think it's Dan Sullivan, who runs a company called Strategic Coach. He calls it strategic byproducts, that often the most innovative ideas or high impact results come from a byproduct of your original idea that you could have never come up with the secondary thing by itself. You had to do the first thing first to get to the second thing. It's like you can never connect the dots moving forward. You have to like see them or reverse engineer them once you see the whole pattern. But yeah, for sure. There's so many, like a perfect example, our very first event, which was 2014 in Toronto, we were ahead of schedule. And for anyone who does events, you're always behind schedule.
My jaw just dropped.
Yeah, it was 11:30 a.m. Lunch was, and you know, especially when there's food involved. So lunch is being served at 12. We had to wait until 12. And I told my team, like, what do we do? And I just on the spot came up with this idea. Well, why don't we give every attendee 2 minutes of stage time to share one nugget of value? Like, let's see if this works. And it was like a on the spot decision because we had to kill 30 minutes. And I'm like, please, I think we had 120 people in the room. So I'm thinking, please, if we can just get 15 people to do a 2 minute talk, that will eat up the 30 minutes and we're good. And it was an experiment, and it was 12:30. It was halfway into lunch, and it was the best segment we've ever done. And it became one of the things that we call them 126 talks, which is like 126 seconds. We do them at every event now. And it's this big deal that became a huge part of our brand and how we deliver events. That was a complete, not accident, maybe accident, but it was just a thing that happened in the moment because we had to kill time one day. And now, you know, 6 years later, we're still doing it.
Yeah, it's called flow state. You just roll with it. One of your things that I really admire about you is your capacity to connect incredible people. And certainly there is a rallying around this idea of entrepreneurship. And I know when we're all together, we're just like breathe a sigh of relief that everyone just kind of inherently understands one another. How did you start to build that network?
It started with an itch I had to scratch, which was I felt lonely. And let me give context. I think this happens to everyone where even if you're around other entrepreneurs, if that's your thing, or if you have any kind of passion, other people may not understand you. And, you know, I'm sure this happens to you too. The more successful you become, the more isolating it becomes because it's a unique set of challenges and a unique set of obsessions and passions that unless you're around other people just like you, it's hard to have a conversation. People don't get us. I've been studying Seth Godin my whole life. He's my favorite author, especially around marketing. And in his book, Tribes, he uses the phrase, people like us do things like this. So I was thinking, who is the people like me, people like us? And it's not entrepreneurs because the traditional entrepreneur that's all about making a lot more money and maybe even exiting or selling their thing and just building a thing to be sold off in pieces or whatever that looks like. To me, entrepreneurship is like having a baby. It's like, I would never give up my baby for adoption. For me, it's mission first and money is the tool that fuels the mission, not money first. But I'm not anti-money. So there's a lot of people who label themselves as social entrepreneurs where they think money is evil for some reason. So I didn't fit into either camp. And I was like, what is this? I feel so alone. I need to find people like me. So I started looking for people like me. And that's when I started building the community because I just needed to have conversations with people who got me. And that was in 2013 that the whole thing started. And as I started finding people like me, I started finding more people like me and realized they needed connection to each other. And there was so much magic that happened when I can bring people like me together. And what I find in any industry, any niche, if you are the tribe leader or the connector of people like you to each other, there's so much value there because we are all secretly and silently begging to be around other people like ourselves. And that's the value of community. I had this conversation with our friend Todd Herman, and it was a really cool conversation. He'll be speaking at our event this year, and we were talking about that. And then in a toss-away comment, he said, the phrases personal growth and self-development are bullshit because of the word self and personal, that all growth happens in community. These are things you can't do yourself. And I realized that, you know, for anyone who does events like us, people may come the first time because of a speaker or because of the content or because of a result or an outcome or transformation they want, but they will stay forever if you are intentional about curating a room of people just like them, because we all want this. We all want to be around other people like us. And we not only grow faster, we also get our superpowers amplified by being around other superheroes. So there's this cool dynamic that happens when a room of people like each other get together in real life.
Yeah. And someone asked me the other day, they said, well, what happens at the Archangel Summit? Should I go? Or like, is it the same as the talks I can find online? And I had to stop for a second and just breathe because in the last 2 years, I've made a huge investment in attending events because one, they're addictive, not because of the sort of pep rally energy, showmanship to them. But for exactly what you say is if you curate events really intentionally, you are in a room of people who are doing groundbreaking work. And it's almost like you have this new lens. You're like, oh, they're all dreamers or they're all visionaries. And what I love actually is being at events where they're not all from the same industry, but it's such a powerful opportunity to just pick up ideas and connect. And half of the connection, I feel like, happens in silence. And there really is this incredible connectivity. So, and that's always been my experience in attending your event. And it's part of my new addiction to running my own, because I think there's an equal high for the audience and for the organizers, because inherently we're social beings, and there's something that just can't happen in that online context.
Well, I've been having this in a shower thought yesterday, actually. So you're the first person I'm telling this to.
Yes.
Well, let me give context. So for Stephanie and I, part of our weekly rituals is to have more self-care time. So we have protected self-care time, usually on Fridays, where we'll do chiropractic adjustments, massage therapy, IV therapy. For me, I also go to the movies. Like I have this thing where every week I'll watch a matinee by myself. It's like my form of escape. So these are all part of our self-care. And then I had this thought based on my experience with Archangel and doing everything I do, that even the phrase self-care is a bit bullshit, because community, like the reason why people go to events is for the safety of being themselves. So it becomes community care. That might not be the right language, but I want to find a phrase to come up with the opposite of self-care, like self-care in a group. And I believe healing happens in a group. Transformation happens in a group, especially when it's a group of people that are there to protect you and make you feel like you can be yourself, which to me is the most important thing. It's why Garib Shamus, who's in our master's group, is the founder of Comic-Con. And I fell in love with him even before I knew him because of comic books. And, you know, when I was a kid, reading comic books meant you were a nerd, and nerd meant a bad thing, or a geek, or all of these negative connotations. So you had to enjoy your comics in secret almost until you found other people like you, which there's that thing again, people like us. Mm-hmm. But then Comic-Con, the experience, was a safe space to be yourself for people like me. And I think that's the magic of any kind of event. When you're curating properly, you create a safe space for people to be themselves and show up fully as themselves. It's the same with, I went to a Lady Gaga concert, and you'll love this. I didn't actually want to go as a fan because I wasn't really a fan. I went with a notepad and a paper to take notes on someone who was epic at Tribuilding, because I was researching, and this was back in 2014 when I was starting Archangel. I was like, who are the best Tribuilders? And she was one of them. And I realized it's the same thing. If you ever have been to one of her concerts, it's kind of like a Halloween party, except people aren't dressing up to wear a mask. They're dressing up to be themselves, to be around other people like that who are probably bullied in real life or feel like they don't fit in anywhere. And that's finally the place where they can fit in. And I think that's what I do really well with Archangel. That's what you do with your events. It's like creating a safe space to be yourself around other people who accept you as yourself.
Yeah, it's so beautifully put. And I feel like the energy of Archangel and Impact Lives is, it's an environment, it's kind of like improv. It's a yes and environment versus the energy of yeah, but. And I just don't go back to groups or events where the energy is yeah, but, because that's the form of entrepreneur and false leadership that I just, maybe it's my stage of life, like I can't engage in it anymore. I just don't do it. They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to uplevel their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Can you give us an overview of what the Archangel Summit is is going to be this year, because I'm massively excited. But for those of our listeners who are like, I don't know what this man is talking about, but I love everything he is saying. Can you give people an overview? Because it's not like most events. It's like Cirque du Soleil meets Comic-Con meets like the best entrepreneurship event you've ever been to meets the red carpet at the Oscars.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it started off in 2016 as a business growth conference for visionary entrepreneurs who wanted to change the world. And then the first year we had 1500 people. And as it grew, I realized I had to be more of myself and infuse more of my theatrics and my love of music and performance and experience design. So now this is our fourth annual. Without giving too much away, you'll feel like if Cirque du Soleil put on a personal growth / business growth event kind of thing with the best speakers in the world. And it's all, and the best audience in the world, because it's people like us. So we are very intentional on how we curate, even with 3,000 people in the room. The fact that you're not going to be around a bunch of people who are dying to give you their business card to push their crap on you type of networking garbage that I can't stand. It's a bunch of really heart-led ultra givers who are either entrepreneurs or leaders or people who are personal growth enthusiasts of some kind, who want to get better and better at who they are and being aligned with themselves to create impact in some way. And you know, we have people like Elizabeth Gilbert speaking, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love and Big Magic, and Seth Godin, who's my hero, so I can't wait for him to speak, Lisa Nichols and Todd Herman. And the experience itself is almost indescribable. It's a transformative day of wisdom sharing and connection with really epic people.
Yeah, which you can't even fully describe until you go. But everyone who's there sees the world through that lens. And don't bring your business cards. You won't need them.
Yeah, exactly. And we, you know, I want people to feel like they're for a day being shipped to another planet. Like it's the idea of storytelling, and we actually infuse story throughout the whole thing. I want people, like, when the lights go down, when the launch happens at 8:30 a.m., you will feel like you're in a movie theater kind of thing. Like you're being a part of a story unfolding to the point where, and remember, this is like 3,000 people with short attention spans. we've probably all been diagnosed with something
people
that
like
starts
us.
The letter A, right? So how do you engage that kind of audience? And that's what I think we do really well now, so that you'll never ever want to check your watch or want to leave the room. It's like, oh my God, what's happening next? There's going to be a lot of surprise and a lot of mind-blowing things happening throughout the day.
Yeah, don't bring your business cards and don't bring your laptop, because you are not clearing your inbox while you are at the Archangel Summit. No, it's just, and if that's what you want to do at an event, it's not, these aren't your people.
Exactly.
I want to know, because Dreamer is the theme of the Archangel Summit this year, but I know it's also a congruent theme with the entire year in Archangel. What are you dreaming of right now?
Oh, nice. The reason we talked about my story and being told to stop dreaming. And I do a lot of talks, either at events or sometimes in schools. And I find that younger people, especially students, are almost, they're born with unlimited imagination and creativity. And then as they grow up, all of these fake limitations get put on them, especially all of us. It happens to everybody, based on environment and family and teachers and whatever it is. And I want to show, especially the next generation of dreamers, what's possible. So we're doing that through our events, but we're also producing a documentary called Dreamer, featuring really epic people who've had big dreams and have executed on them to make them happen. People like Dean Kamen, who's a billion, he's like a real life Iron Man. If you don't know who he is, he invented the Segway and he invented a bunch of medical devices and all these cool things. And we were at his house filming this documentary. His house is 32,000 square feet and has like an indoor garage for his helicopter. And like, I don't even know how to explain it. But he's And he does this huge competition where he's turned math and science into a sport in the US with 50,000 kids competing. It's the coolest thing ever.
That's amazing. And
Peter Diamandis, who is the founder of XPRIZE, where they give away $10 million prizes to innovators and inventors who solve world challenges. Like he, his first XPRIZE was for space travel, private space travel. The contest was you had to have your spaceship go into space in orbit for whatever it was, like 10 minutes and come back down. And the winner of that prize, as soon as that happened, Richard Branson came and bought the rights, and that's how Virgin Galactic was formed. So Peter's in the film, and Naveen Jain, who's another billionaire, who is the first private citizen to have permission to fly to the moon. And he's going to be mining minerals on the moon. And he also created Viome, which is a microbiome test, and all these other cool things to disrupt all these big industries. So it's going to be a really fun project. And that film will be premiered at our Archangel Summit in 2020. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, we're just dreaming nonstop. A lot of big things happening.
That's amazing. You mentioned Naveen Jain, and I remember saying to someone, and I heard him speak at an event last year, and he was talking about this idea of mining minerals in space. And I told this to someone. They're like, that is just impossible. And I was like, no, I think it's really happening. They're like, this just can't happen. And I was so struck. Well, and back to this idea of, you know, people like us, because to be able to dream big in that place, you can't go to that primitive brain protectionistic thing that's just like, it's irresponsible to dream like that. It's irresponsible to think like that. And I love the examples you just cited, because all of these people kind of, you know, flip the bird at that mindset, as it were, and said, no, like it's a what if, not a yeah, but. And I'm curious for you, because I know you are in a constant state of dreaming and then actualizing. How do you manage your own limiting beliefs around some of the ideas? Like, and how do you remove those blocks so there's really no limitations to what you think is possible?
It starts by being around other people who are dreaming even bigger than me, which at some point sounds impossible, but that's the thing. Like Naveen is a perfect example. So he's a good friend now, and actually, let me share a quick story of him because it's so funny. He came to our San Diego event a couple years ago, and as a gift, he gave me a piece of the moon, like a literal chip of rock from the moon in this really cool case. I'm like, this is the best gift ever. And then I was just telling Stephanie, because we were in the States, we had to fly back home. I'm like, how do I explain this at customs? Sir, why do you have a piece of the moon? But yeah, to me, it's being around people who are dreaming even bigger to realize what's possible and to turn off my limiters on what's not only possible but probable, and to just be exposed to people like that in real life, where it doesn't seem like it's fiction anymore, it's actually real, to give myself the space to dreamstorm, if that's the word.
That's a good word.
Thank you.
And I find the more you dream, the more I now get surprised when things don't work.
Right.
Which is also like, that's okay, because if you're comfortable with this failure piece, then that's okay. But I just really believe there's always a way, or someone who will figure out how to find that way for you.
We're always, it's fun. The other thing is to be exposed to people who are outside of your industry, right? So what I find fascinating is that the limitations we put on ourselves are because it's like, well, this is how it's done. You know, this is how people like us do this thing. And sometimes you have to go outside of your world. And this is why, like with mastermind groups in general, I always tell people you should be in at least two, one that's industry specific so that you get the best practices of what's happening in your world. And then one that's a blend or mix of different industries, where it's still people like you based on how you feel and how, you know, what you're, what you stand for, what your belief structures are, but it's a mixture of people from different industries. So you can borrow best practices from outside of your world that may be normal in someone's space, but revolutionary for you. And that's a great way to really innovate exponentially. Because like, if, for example, real estate agents, and I'm just using them as a fun case study because I used to be one. How do they advertise? If you look at that world, it's like all billboards and trash cans and all these funny things. And so, someone in that space will see someone doing something and think, well, that must work because they're successful, not realizing it probably doesn't work. But then everyone copies and does the same thing versus being completely like, look at Elon Musk in terms of how he launched Tesla, the car company. If you think of the entire automotive industry, how do they sell cars? They create dealerships and they all copy each other. So it's like, well, GM is doing this, Ford is doing this. Why don't we create a dealership and do it right beside their dealership and create these giant auto parks? And Elon's like, well, first of all, my product is completely unique and different and way better than all your stuff already. But you know what? Instead of doing the same boring thing, I'm going to rent retail space in high fashion malls where I'm going to showcase my product in a completely different way. And I have no competition. Like, who else is doing that? No one. So you're walking through, like if you're in Toronto, you're walking through Yorkdale Mall and you're, you know, it's like Holt Renfrew and all these big brands. And all of a sudden there's Tesla. It's like, cool. And you order online. It's just a completely unique and different experience that's revolutionary. And I think we can all do that in our own worlds, whether you are selling cars or you're a naturopath, it doesn't matter. But the idea of being around other people in different industries and using things that are completely different.
I love that so much because I feel like one of a really powerful thing that I do when I'm looking at any given problem is I just stop and ask, is there a really good reason that it's done this way? And I do that at work. I do that when I'm going to pick up dry cleaning. I'm like, I'm just constantly trying to understand whether or not there's a good reason something's done that way or whether something is just open for disruption. And you're quite right. Within the world of practitioners, I love to ask people how they came up with their fee schedule. And they kind of look at you and they're like, well, I just looked at everyone around me to see what they were charging. And I just copied them. I said, guys, like as an industry, we're undercharging by about 40% because no one's actually sat down and calculated what it costs to deliver care. They just copied the person next to them. And, you know, in a world where I think sometimes we are inundated with information that tells us there is scarcity and not opportunity, I think there's so much abundant opportunity around us if we just shift how we look at it.
Yes. And it also gives you the opportunity to stand above the crowd really easily because of what's happening. You know, you mentioned like any health practitioner or any field where you have to get a license of some kind. If you're in that school, they teach you the craft of the thing, but they don't teach you anything about entrepreneurship usually. So now you're stuck being really good at being a doctor or being a real estate agent or being an accountant. But then how do you actually find clients or how do you build a practice or how do you, I think it's important to be really good at your craft, whatever that is, but also be around people who aren't like you so that it really helps you think. It's such a cliche thing, but not just think outside the box, but just reinvent the box itself and do different things.
Hey, you, if you're a colleague, if you're a practitioner, if you are seeing patients, if you are looking to up level your impact in the health and wellness space, I wanted to let you know that we are hosting one heck of an amazing event taking place on November 21, 22, 23 in Toronto. Impact Lives is our signature flagship event that takes place on an annual basis, and it is a coming together of some of the most impactful people in the health and wellness industry. Over the 3 days, we are unpacking the mindset that has been holding you back from achieving the impact you have always dreamed of. We are spending a day looking at new tactics and techniques, some of the things that people are using in a cutting edge capacity to take their impact and their practice to the next level. And if you want to join us for our VIP bonus day, we are going deep in a workshop setting, 6 different workshops to up-level your mindset, your business, and your impact. Impact Lives is an incredible experience. And our promise to you this year is that when you walk through the door, you will not be capable of leaving as the same person you were when you arrived. If you want to learn more about how you can participate in Impact Lives, check us out online, www.impactlivesevent.com. I cannot wait to see you there. I could honestly carry this conversation on all day long, but I feel like this is a perfect place to transition the interview. And at the end of all of our interviews, we have a series of rapid fire questions. I call these our KPIs. So just like we have KPIs in our business, I believe we have them in how we live our lives as well. So indulge me. I've got a few quick questions coming your way.
Sure.
First one, who is inspiring you right now?
My partner, Dr. Stephanie. So she's talking about speaking outside the circle or box. She was in practice and she is so gifted. Like, her superpowers are speaking, writing, and taking really complex, abstract health challenges or issues or ideas and making them simple for people to understand. So she's launching her podcast. She's launching coaching. It's just fun and exciting and an honor to watch her be in her zone of genius and triple down on that. So she's insanely inspiring to me.
I would agree that she is insanely inspiring to many people. And I love it when people call out their partners with that question.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Everything I read is nonfiction and everything I watch is fiction. I prefer fiction on screen. I'm just a movie freak. So reading right now, oh man, we have a library in our house.
I was going to say, narrow it down to your top five books beside your bed.
So I'm rereading Seth Godin's This Is Marketing, which is his most recent book. I bought a book called Superfans. I think it's Pat Flynn. I haven't actually read it yet. It's sitting on my nightstand. That's my next thing. And there was a book I loved in 2003 that came out and I read it back then. And I lent my copy to someone years ago and I completely forgot about it and just remembered. And it literally came yesterday. It's called How to Be a Marketing Superstar. It's such an epic book. So I can't wait to read that one too.
When do you read?
It's another thing we do. We carve out time with the family. We have reading time, usually before bed so that we can turn off all of our screens and devices and not have that blue light messing up our sleep. So it's usually before bed.
Love it. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
A lot of things now. We work out. So I have to give context. Part of the magic is that we schedule everything. Like, if you look at our calendars, and health and fitness and so important to us. So we are consistent with our diet. We practice intermittent fasting. So we normally don't eat until after noon. And highly consistent with that and how we work out. And we have a trainer that comes once a week, but we also have workout time every single day, whether it's HIIT training or weight training. And for me, I love sprinting. So we're super consistent with all that too. And it's game changing.
It is game changing. I love this idea of scheduling. And I always resisted it. And then I realized scheduling is the gateway to freedom.
Right.
So I love hearing you say that.
Even scheduling time with the kids, like the things that I find are priorities to people are the things they don't schedule. Like, spending time with your kids, date nights, health and fitness activities. Those are what usually people say are the most important things to them. But if you look at their calendar, it's never there. It's like, well, show me your calendar and I'll actually show you where your priorities are. So if you really care, make that the thing that's non-negotiable and plan around all those things. And that's how we look at things now.
I love it. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know? It's my favorite question, by the way.
I have a funny definition of badass, but I am weirdly really good at Wheel of Fortune. to an extreme level. Like, I've solved, I think my record is 33 puzzles with no. So, you know, when you're watching Wheel of Fortune and the new puzzle comes up and it's just a bunch of blank spots, I can guess the puzzle like that. And I've done that like 34 times.
Little did you know you have Wheel of Fortune X-ray vision.
It's weird, but I love, like, you can't play Hangman with me. You won't like me.
Okay. These are good secrets to know. What do you do for fun or play?
We incorporate play a lot. So, you know, date nights, we'll do physical activity stuff or even with the kids. So we try to be kids as much as possible. We love trampoline parks. There's one in Vaughan, if you live in the Toronto area, called Air Riders that we love, in Sky Zone. I sketch and draw and play piano as well. And we play music a lot. Like, I feel like life should have a soundtrack. So in the mornings with the kids, we'll play music. And if there's a cool song, I'll play on the piano along with it. I also, for Christmas 2 years ago, Stephanie bought me DJ equipment. And I used to DJ when I was a kid. So it was like, it's getting back into that to the point where at our last San Diego event, I played piano at the event and DJed a superhero morning dance party thing that we did. So I love incorporating all of that right brain creative stuff into my daily life too.
Amazing. And last question for you, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I feel like there is a, and our friend Alex Sharfman said, he calls it entrepreneurial personality type. I think there are people who are born with the genes for it, and it's also a learned skill. So even if you're not born with it, you could do it. I just feel like you have a really unfair advantage if you have that genetic code to be entrepreneurial. We're just wired different.
Fair answer. I was deeply curious how you were going to you were going to answer that question. Giovanni Marsico, you are changing the world through your dreaming and your events and your community. For people who want to follow up with you and learn more about what you're up to, where can we direct them?
I would go to archangelsummit.com as a starting point. You can follow me on Instagram, first name, last name, 126.
I love it. I'm going to be at the Archangel Summit. I can't wait to see you soon. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, here's what I want you to do. I'm not going to have you come and hang out with us on Facebook. I don't want you to subscribe or leave a review. I want you to do just one thing, and that is join us at this year's Archangel Summit. We're going to hook you up in our show notes with all the links you need to be able to grab your ticket to hang out with people like you. And if you are a practitioner and you want to amplify that experience even further, everyone who joins us at our event this year, Impact Lives, in our VIP experience stream, VIP stands for Very Impactful Person, we are buying you a ticket to the Archangel Summit. You get two for the price of one. I feel so passionately about the movement that that Gio is leading that I want you to be a part of it. So your ability to join us for Impact Lives and to grab your ticket for the Archangel Summit are available in our show notes. You can go to one place, and that is meganwalker.com/podcast, and you'll see the episode there with Giovanni Marsico. Thanks so much for listening. Until we chat again, go build something epic.